Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Not too bad. Having a good day. Just not really doing much of anything.
Not doing much of anything, huh?
Nope. Just taking it easy. Figure I got 2 days off. Might as well just,
just kind of sitting around.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just not doing much of anything.
No, not really.
Jacques Hughes!
What? I missed...
Sources have told this reporter...
Reporter?
That you are cheating on this podcast.
What?
Yes. Sources have told this reporter that you're two-timing us. That you're playing us.
Never.
You're being a flat-foot floozy with the floy-floy.
What? And the flim-flam. Strahd, I think you've been licking the inside of your headphones too much. You just...
Yeah? Well, listen here.
All right, this is Joe Crazy Rider coming at you. If you're wondering why you're interrupting the Amish Baby Machine podcast, well, to be blunt, who cares about the Amish anyways? More importantly, I am here because Diggity Dags lost a bet. The bet's not important, but the stakes were he had to give me his most precious commodity. Naturally, I thought it would be his hot wife, but no, he said I could have a couple minutes on the Amish Baby Machine podcast to talk about what I like, comic books. In case you're wondering why I am better at it than Dags, well, I've been collecting comic books since Star Wars, the original one, not this Jar Jar Binks crap. I've had two comic book stores, and I've been selling comics online on eBay. And not only that, I got me a comic book podcast, but I'll talk about that later. What I really want to talk about is today's comic book, Wildstorm Spotlight number 1. Came out in 1997. It was a short-lived series from Image Comics. It was supposed to feature, like all these spotlight things, just different characters. It only lasted 4 issues. The first issue, though, was pretty good. Written by some cat, Alan Moore. I've never heard if he's done anything else. I think he crashed and burned after this. The story itself's pretty good. Mr. Majestic is the feature character. He's kind of like a Superman archetype, but he's at the end of time, the end of the universe. He's traveling with things like a gothic vampire. He's got a sentient syphilis virus in him. He's got the Wandering Jew with him, and they're all trying to escape the encroaching end of the universe. The story, of course, is written only the way Alan Moore could write it. It's definitely worth picking up because it's cheap. It's going to be hard to find because no one's collecting it, but you should be able to pick up a copy for a buck or less. Or you could pick up Mr. Majestic Book 1 that has his entire series plus Wildstorm Spotlight 1. Or you could pick up Alan Moore Wild Worlds, which came out in 2007, which has all of Alan Moore's crazy stuff in the Wildstorm universe. As I mentioned before, I'll be back time to time giving you my favorite picks of comic books. If you need more comic book goodness, check out my Here podcast, Crazy Comics and Stories. You can find it, of course, on our official Facebook comic book page, the official Crazy Comics and Stuff podcast page, or find it on the Solitaire Rose Network, which is Crazy Comics, that's KRAYZCOMIX .SolitaireRose.com. And we've got over 177 episodes, and me and my bud Core, all we do is talk about comics. You got anything you want me to review? Hey, let Dags know and I'll take care of it. Again, this has been Crazy Joe Rider, your comic book minute.
Care to answer for that, mister?
I'm shocked.
Care to explain that, mister?
I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
That I don't lie to me with your whore mouth.
I mean, what are you doing down in Amish country? That's what I want to know.
Well, where do you think I get the best pies?
Well, there's that. I thought maybe Betty's Pies up north, but that's had nothing to do with whatever.
No. Reviews have come in. Something happened. Betty's Pies, they tried to expand, and they have new ownership, and people say that the pies have taken a downward tumble.
Pies.
Almost to the level
pies.
Of a House of Pies pie. Oh,
I can tell you, We go up there when we go up north. That's the first place we stop because I naturally, you know, send you a picture of the pie I'm eating. Although there is that one place they set up a little bit farther north of Castle Rock that allegedly has better pies. So,
which is what I have heard.
We have a pie gate.
I have sources.
I actually plan to go to the source tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Well, don't change the subject.
Oh, it's better than changing my Grunderwear, but yeah, you caught me. What can I say? Shucks. Nah, a friend of mine does a podcast, and I mentioned it here on our podcast here before. It's called the Amish Baby Machine.
And, like, I pay attention to what you have to say.
And, you know, much as Corey doesn't pay attention to what I have to say, I just, basically, it's kind of a rated R humor type thing. And you can go to check it out on Amish Baby Machine, either Facebook it or Google it. And he asked me if I'd do a kind of a comic book minute type thing. And since I'm trying to gear up for my own solo, Joe, I figured this would be a good way to get the kinks out and hopefully unheard by the 12 people that, well, wait, we lost one guy because of chewing. 11 people that listen to this podcast. I wanted to step forward with my best foot, a true polish machine, because even as you got to admit, Strode, those early podcasts of ours are mighty tough to listen to.
Some people listen to
them. Yeah, well, we appreciate that, but it's kind of like watching the first season
of
Deep Space Nine or Star Trek Next Gen. It's just not good. Ugh. But no, you spoiled my surprise. So anyways.
Yeah, it's a surprise. You weren't going to tell us.
No, but you can't. Well, it's not like, you know, we ooh and I every time a solo Corey comes out.
Yes, we do.
Yes, I do, but I'm trying to deflate you right now. That's the problem.
I don't need deflating.
That's true. They're not like a footballer with the NFL. So, anyways, whenever I get around to it, check the Amish Baby Machine out. You'll hear my words of wisdom. Like I said, it is a rated R show. Unlike us, we try to keep it PG, PG-13. Yeah, but you did catch. I did give a good blurb to us here.
Yes,
all those
I did.
Amish babies now will be coming listening to our podcast. I expect our listenership to go up to maybe 11.
Here's my question. What did the Amish listen to a podcast on?
There are some things I choose not to think about. I have enough things in my life to keep me up.
Is it like down when they had the Mexican radio in the 50s and the 60s, where they cranked the transmitters up so high that nearby barbed wire was broadcasting the radio programs?
It could be. It could be a lot of wire and soup cans. We just don't know.
My father told me stories of, you know, at night listening to the Mexican radio stations all the way up in central Illinois. Here's something I bet you did not know, Joe.
What's that?
Wolfman Jack got his start on the Mexican radio.
Well, that could explain the Wolfman part.
Yeah. That's why he didn't use his real name. He wanted to eventually come back to the U.S. And he did, of course, but he stayed down there for quite a long time. National Public Radio a few years ago had a documentary on the Mexican radio and how it started with religious broadcasters, and eventually the people who owned the stations realized that there were enough religious broadcasts and they wanted to play music that American stations wouldn't play, and that would be the devil rock and roll.
I like the devil rock and roll.
You know who likes to listen to the devil rock and roll?
Well, I'd imagine everybody at the MSP Comic Con, which will be held May 16th and 17th, the Minnesota State Fairgrounds, this year, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. both days. Well, I'll talk about it later, but Pat and I actually ran into one of the what do you call a group of three running the place?
The Gang of Three.
Yes, when we actually cornered him and asked him pointed questions.
And?
Well, we'll talk about that later.
You're talking about the convention now.
Well, he said the big thing is that they got the volunteers going. They're checking their lists. Basically, a lot of the lists they had previously are inaccessible, and they're just having to rebuild them. So I tell you, if you're a dealer, if you're a fan wanting to go to the show, if you're a guest, send them a quick email or head over to their Facebook page there, or go to MidwestComicBook.com, and they will take care of you. So there is action going on behind the scenes. I naturally told them, you know, let us know, because Corey and I love breaking news.
Breaking news?
Yes.
Speaking of breaking news, you know what breaking news I have?
What's that?
Our sponsors, ooh, these guys.
This show has sponsors, and those sponsors are our best friends. They could be your best friends, too. Our first sponsor is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best bar none web host in the whole known universe. If you need a website, DreamHost.com is the host you need to go to. And if you use the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, you get $20 off your first year. Just go to DreamHost.com. Do you need healthy snacks? You probably do. We all do. How would you like them where they show up without you even having to order them, where you just get a subscription, they show up, so that when you've run out, they show up again? Graze.com has great healthy snacks, and you get a free box if you use the code CORYS3R5P. That's CORYS3R5P. Your first box and your fifth box are free. If you're listening to this show, you're one of the smartest people in the whole known universe, and you're probably fed up with paying too much for razors. So join Dollar Shave Club. They deliver great blades every month for just a few bucks. No more schlepping to the drugstore. No more overpriced, ridiculous shave tech that you don't need. Razor plans start at just $3 a month. Check it out and let us know what you think. Just go to dollarshaveclub.com/crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z. If you'd like to advertise on Crazy Comics and Stories or the Solitaire Rose podcast, we'd love it. Just go ahead and email me at corey.strode@gmail.com, subject advertising. You can also send us emails there. We love to get them. We love to read them. And most of the time, we can build a whole show around a three-line email. So go ahead and email us at corey.strode@gmail.com, or you can call or leave a message that we will play on the air at 952-856-0519. Thanks.
And there we go.
Cool. That's called taking care of business every day.
Are you going to be singing the entire podcast?
I could. I've been, you know, we should do for our 200th episode, maybe a Gregorian chant episode. Corey read some image books. Joe threw up at death, mate.
He's going to puke.
No, no.
He's going to puke.
He's going to puke. He's going to puke. You just gotta, you know, I'll teach Corey Gregorian off the air. We don't.
Well, the thing is, Brad Roberts, the lead singer of the Crash Test Dummies, is a Facebook friend of mine.
Ooh.
And he has wished me happy birthday on a number of occasions.
And sometimes that even on your birthday.
Yes, that number is 2. Maybe we could get him to, sing about comics. Did it once.
Much more interesting than us.
Although, you know, he's a yoga instructor now.
Oh, I love yogurt.
Yoga. Yoga.
Oh, Yoda. You know, like, Yoda. Yoda. I think Weird Al did a Yoda song already.
You know, like Diamond Dallas Page, who was in the Royal
the
Rumble.
Royal Rumble, yeah. Are we going to do a little wrestling bit?
We might as well, sure. Because, wow. Wow. Oh, man. I have never seen a crowd turn that ugly.
Ugh.
That fast.
And you know what was
for
weird?
That long.
And I'm going to preview my freaking, because when I got home, I couldn't get my computer to run the Royal Rumble. So I ended up watching it on my phone. And I got there right when Daniels was eliminated. We're talking Daniel Bryan. And For non-wrestling people, he's the popular one. The one that the fans like, the one he's been out for 9 months with a serious injury. And when he comes back, the crowd is so behind him. So naturally, they eliminate him almost as fast as he got into the place.
I think the problem was, and I've talked to a couple of people who aren't real big comic fans who've heard about this story, who said, why has everybody lost their bloody mind? Why are people so mad? It's, you know, it's just wrestling. We all know it's scripted. We all, well, what it is, and I described it as, you've got, let's say you're watching a movie, okay? And the story is about an underdog who beats every foe in his path. He makes the big comeback. He has more obstacles thrown in his way. And every time an obstacle gets in his way, through grit and determination, he's able to get through that obstacle. And now we're getting to the last third of the movie, and he's hit by a car and dies the end. And someone else is the one who defeats the,
and
you know, this whole problem, or gets a bad guy or whatever. Daniel Bryan was built up as he's coming back to get his title back. He has to beat this guy to get in the Royal Rumble. He has to beat this guy to get in the Royal Rumble. He's in the Royal Rumble. He comes in and he's going up against one of his longtime foes. And then about 15, 20 minutes in, he just gets dumped out of the ring and the camera barely catches it, and that's it. He's done, gone. Mm-hmm. Goodbye. At that point, the crowd turned. And it wasn't like when Hulk Hogan joined the NWO that people were, boo, boo, we hate you for being a bad guy, boo, boo. No, this was a crowd that was having fun. This was a crowd that was cheering and singing along. And my favorite part is when Cena came out. You've heard Cena's music, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had new lyrics for Cena's music.
Oh,
John Cena sucks.
John Cena sucks.
This was a crowd that was having a blast. And Daniel Bryan gets dumped out unceremoniously. Boom, his story's over. He's done. He's gone. That crowd turned ugly. I mean, that crowd got angry. Whoever came in, they hated. When Roman Reigns came out of the crowd, he's the appointed one. He's the new John Cena. He's the new guy who, if he gets beat, he's only beat for like, I don't know, a half hour or so. And the crowd was crapping all over him. He would do his big moves and they would just boo. Now, Dolph Ziggler, when he came out, the crowd was into him. And again, you know, he did four or five moves and then gone. So these two guys that they'd build up as, these are our underdog heroes. They've been through everything and now they got a chance, and it's, they weren't eliminated in a big deal. I think if it would have been that either one of them lasted till like the last three or four and a couple of the heels had to team up, big valiant effort, and they finally get eliminated, the crowd would have stayed in it. But nope, they're just gone.
Yeah. And the thing and was, the is before the Royal Rumble was quite possibly the most impressive, incredible match of the entire pay-per-view.
Oh, that championship match was amazing.
It was a three-way between the favorite booing guy, John Cena, Seth Rollins, and the Beast, Brock Lesnar, who is just a monster. And I actually met him once at the airport. He was very I recognized him, and I said, hey, Brock Lesnar. I really enjoy your work. And this was back when his first run on WWF, and he just kind of, he looked almost embarrassed. And then when I started just treating him like a normal person, you know, okay, well, let's get you through the screening process, blah, blah, blah. He seemed to, chill a little, you know? So
yeah.
That was kind of cool. Yeah, he's big. He was a big boy. That was before he did MMA.
And so the crowd loved that match. This was a, this crowd turned so much, and they knew, they must have known they were going to have trouble because they, The Rock is going to be there. The Rock's going to be there. The Rock comes out, starts to do a promo, and the crowd is crapping all over him. And from, what I read from a couple people who were there, They were throwing stuff at the ring.
Ooh.
They were throwing full cups of soda, and The Rock.
At least we think it was soda.
The cup Rock cut out early and went backstage. So they do, they have him do his big promo in the back, and they killed the crowd noise. I mean, when they're doing their backstage stuff, they've killed the crowd noise. Normally they pipe that in because the crowd is watching.
Yeah, they react to what's on.
They want to hear the crowd cheering. Nope. It was dead silent, and The Rock kept screwing up the promo. He kept messing up. It was terrible. And in my opinion, what happened in the ring was, oh crap, this crowd has turned. I got to get out of here. And it threw him off his game. So, fan reaction. Wow. I've never seen fan reaction turn that much. I mean, this is worse fan reaction than for one more day, Joe. This is worse fan reaction than, Emerald Twilight. And, you had the little shop when Emerald Twilight came out, right?
I believe I did, yeah.
That was, when, Hal Jordan turned evil, killed all the Green Lanterns. That was real early in the online world, but there were people who lost their tiny little minds when that happened. One of the editor who was in charge of that has said in interviews, he got death threats that had to be investigated by the police.
Brilliant.
And, you know, I'll get mad at a story. I'll think a story is stupid. Death threats to the editor? Calm down, people. Joe, do you know of any big, when you had your shops, were there any times when a story came out that made fans so mad that they just, I don't want this anymore, take it off? Because my feeling was when people hated a story, they just, yeah, you can take the X-Men off my list.
That was,
they didn't get mad.
That was pretty much how it worked. I mean, I had guys, even in the little shop, like there was a 2-issue run on Titans that Rob Liefeld did the story and art, and people were like, I really don't want this. And I said, that's okay. I think that one, I ordered none for the shop and I ended up with 5. So, I planned that one fairly decent. I think Deathmate toward, okay, I held it in.
Wow, you're getting mature.
Well, no, that's, I have a point to make. If it's just random, but, towards the end of that, people were like, do I really have to finish this? And I'm like, well, considering it's about 12 months late, no. But that didn't really matter because that was, I think, the Liefeld Red issue, which got returnable. All the Image ones were ended up being returnable anyways. Most of the time, it's like you said, people would just drop it. But what I wanted them to do is not only drop it, but tell me to stop pulling it off their list. Because a lot of people would drop something but never tell me. And dumb old Joe, not only am I ordering that month, but at the time I was ordering 2 months ahead. So I'm still ordering books you don't want. You know, and it's kind of like, just tell me you don't want them and I'll drop them off your list. You know, and sometimes when I was running the register, I could almost tell who didn't want to tell me. It was almost like a phobia or something, you know, like I was going to, what do you mean you don't want to stop Tiny Tim and his terrible twosome? It's like, you know, fine, drop it, but have me stop ordering it for you. You know, so I'd be like, well, you know, I saw I gave you a copy of Titans, but it's not back. Yeah, I want to drop it. Okay, no problem, just tell me.
Which is very different from in the beginning.
Oh, in the beginning, you ordered it, it was yours. This is a solemn trust between retailer. You buy it. I'm going broke here. What's the matter with you people? And towards the end, I was like, eh.
Which is where Joe got the name Crazy.
And then I was just kind of like, eh, whatever. Buy something else. I don't care. It's all good. Are you sure you don't want to finish it? It cancels in 3 issues. You'll have the whole set.
And then I've noticed that people will do that, and then when the book's canceled, they come in and grab the three to finish the story.
Yeah.
But comic fans are weird. You know, the whole Superman thing, the whole time the Superman had the triangle numbers, which basically meant the story went through four Superman books. They had four separate books, and one came out every week. So there would be Adventures of Superman, Superman, Action Comics, whatever the other, Man of Steel. And people would pick up one and not the others. And it's like, do you like getting part three of every story? Because you're not getting...
Yeah. Some people did. You know, they just didn't like that Man of Steel or whatever.
But even over at X-Men, you know, it'd be, oh, the X-Men sells really well. It's cross... And it would be, okay, this story goes through all, you know, six or eight books. Ugh, and I always hated that, too. And they still do the thing where you pick up one, and if the story goes long, well, good luck. It may tell you this continues over in this book, but it doesn't say, by the way, to get the whole story, you need these eight parts, and they're in these books.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pick up a back issue, it's like, oh, God, where's the rest of the story? But there would be people who would pick up parts 1, 4, 7, and 9. Aren't you going to pick up part 10? It finishes the story. Nah, I don't like Wolverine.
And that was always a tough neurosis to get over, especially for me, because it was, you know, it was like, oh my gosh, I picked up a copy of Wolverine. Now I got to pick up all the copies of Wolverine. No, you don't. You know, once you get that out of your system, that you don't have to buy everything, it actually makes you find yourself, yeah, I'll pick up one copy of Hellblazer that Neil Gaiman wrote, but I don't have to pick up the other ones.
Yeah. Or I just want this story.
Yeah.
Well, we got email.
We did?
Yeah. We're getting more email lately.
Cool.
Matthew Guy. Remember, Joe, how we went through what we're ordering?
Mm-hmm.
And you said, go ahead and email us what you're ordering?
Sure.
Matthew Guy listened to you.
Oh, good. That takes care of the rest of the show.
Which I know is a rare experience for you because you're married and you have two daughters, so no one listens to you.
Well, sometimes the bunny will.
Is the bunny bringing you a beer yet?
Well, I'm working on it. So far, all he really wants to do is hump my hand, but...
You have to go to some other podcast to get people to listen.
Well, that's what the Amish baby machine's for.
So Matthew sends an email. Here's a breakdown of what I'm reading currently and in the future with all the events. Hellboy and BRPD 1952, number 4. Great art by Daredevil artist Alex Maleev. It has a monthly release schedule. I buy Hellboy in the books.
I have yet to. It's on my to-do list.
And actually, I wish I would have known that they were doing the library editions, or I wouldn't have bought them as trade paperbacks. Yeah. I would have waited until they had the nice, big, thick hardcover. Oh.
Yeah, that's all right. That's where I'm aiming.
Manola art's great. Alex Maleev, okay, Alex, I'm still waiting on those issues of Scarlet that were supposed to be out 2 years ago. Yeah, it's nice that you're doing stuff with Mike Mignola, but maybe you should finish the story that you're in the middle of. Superman / Wonder Woman. The Finch and Finch Wonder Woman number 40 and the annual. I like the art team, but I'm in the minority on that. Oh, well. I think a lot of people like the art. They like Finch's art. What I've heard are complaints about the story. Now, I have not read any of them.
I'm waiting. I've got a few. I'm going to probably sit down and read them.
And then Superman 40, Action Comics 40, Batman 40. I notice over on the Superman that Geoff Johns has already left. He's no longer writing, and John Romita Jr. is writing it. So I'll be interested
stick around
to see.
For that, yeah.
He's never written anything that I can think of, except he did one series of Image. Didn't he?
I'd have to look it up. I'm not actually...
Well, Tron 3000.
I'm not actually that motivated.
I am.
Okay, you look it up. I'll keep reading. He's also picking up Superman Batman number 20. He says he's picking up the remaining issues of Batman Eternal, which I believe ends at issue 52. And he says it's the only weekly that he reads. And he's picking up something.
John Romita Jr., he did a comic called The Gray Area back in 2004, but he did have a writer on it who did the scripting.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So Romita has not ever done a book all by himself before. Interesting.
Not as interesting as the Fables Deluxe Edition Volume 10 hardcover, which he ordered, and the Fables Happily Ever After 21 trade paperback, and the Fables Wolf series. He says he's also going to buy issue 150 of Fables.
And now, I heard that I've issue
150
is going to be a big trade paperback size comic.
Could be. I haven't seen it come out yet. But
Let's see. Long Live the Force for this comic, man. Star Wars, Darth Vader, and Princess Leia miniseries.
He didn't see the variant he wants, although probably, you know, he probably just goes with the regular edition. I know there's a few editions that are cover price and all, but...
See, Amazing Spider-Man 16 and Daredevil 14. Well, now at least I think I know when Mark Waid's going to be leaving Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
When everything ends.
Ah.
Although Dan Slott has said nothing about leaving Spider-Man when everything ends, so...
Why not? He's got a good gig going for him.
See, over at Image Saga 26... Yeah, I hate the fact that I read all 24 issues of Saga in like 2 days, and now it's like, oh, I have to wait months for the next issue. I'm an idiot. And Velvet number 11.
To be an idiot.
Velvet is the Brubaker crime comic. He does that. I finally have stacked up all of the issues of Fatale, and we'll be talking about that a little later. Let's see. I also pick up Little Nemo Return to Slumberland from IDW. It comes out every 2 months and is the most enjoyable book with art out of this world and writing that's pretty good. A constant 5 out of 5 when it comes out. That's one of those I saw and kind of went, really? They're going to revisit that? And I think that was all the attention I paid to it.
Mm. Well, you missed. He also said he'll read Southern Bastards, but it was not offered this month. And that's the same thing like I have. There's a lot of books that I pick up that aren't necessarily monthly. And I think I may be doing like he's saying. He's going to switch to trades once the next story arc ends. And I'm thinking I end up doing that too.
Let's see. As for DC's Convergence and Marvel Secret Wars, here's the only miniseries I'm getting. The Superman by Dan Jurgens and Lee Weeks. Saving up for the Wonder Woman 77 digital comic to be released in hardcover this summer. Amazing Spider-Man 17, the only Secret Wars that counts as the first one done in the 1980s that introduced the concept of the black suit Spidey.
Uh-oh, he's getting curmudgeonly.
I'm looking forward to the new Secret Wars, and the original was pretty damn horrible.
That was
if you have fond memories of that comic, do yourself a favor.
Go read Deathmate.
Do not go back and revisit it. Especially like the last 4 issues. I think one of them, Mike Zeck said he had to draw the whole thing in 3 days. And it shows.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing the pages and just handing them to whoever was in the office to ink them. The book was that late. So, let's see. As a DC loyalist, I could care less if Marvel copies DC by rebooting their universe of a crisis-like atmosphere after decades of hearing we are not like DC. I could say Marvel is very likely following in DC's footsteps. Slow golf clap insert here. I'm going to be interested to see how much of this is hype. How much of this is just, okay, we're going to bring some stuff from the Ultimate Universe in as we get rid of that universe. Although, as they release more information about Battle World, it's really looking like they're going to be bringing back a whole lot of really cool concepts. There's going to be a weird world,
Apocalypse has a little area.
Yep. And you know my deep love of Skull the Slayer?
Yeah.
There's a reason they're putting that book out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be interested to see what they do. I don't think they're going to go full on Crisis. I do think they'll use it to kind of clean things up a bit.
Well, I think the other thing, I was talking with a buddy of mine, and we were kind of in agreement that we like the Sabretooth from Age of Apocalypse better than the regular version of Sabretooth. But the problem is how do you ever use that concept again, since Age of Apocalypse was kind of a beginning, middle, end type storyline? How do you revisit the House of M universe? How do you revisit Franklin's little pocket universe? You know, and this might be the way that Marvel's going to do that. They could maybe cherry pick some of the cooler concepts that people want to play with, but they've been unable to do outside of like the book Exiles, or I don't know, even go back. What was Mutant X? Wasn't that when Havok ended up in an alternate universe and married Black Queen or whatever? You know, you can play around with that. I personally think instead of Battle World, they should have called it God Wheel, because they already have that concept. I mean, yeah, they're going to have to pay Niven a little money, but you know, it was a good concept.
And they won't.
Yeah, they won't.
And they won't.
Bastards. It must kill somebody in Disney to be going through their inventory. What about this character Prime? Oh, we can't use that. Okay. What about this prototype guy? Nah, I can't use that.
I still laugh myself sick every time when one of the editors at Marvel says, well, you know, there's this agreement we have and we can't talk about it, blah, blah, blah. The agreement is that if you use the characters, the original creators get some money from it. That's the agreement.
Uh-huh.
It's not that they're lying.
Money on the table. You're leaving it. Oh, no, we have to cough up a dollar for every million we make. Too much. Cancel the series.
As one of the people who works over at DC and has worked for DC for a long time has said, DC probably will not be able to do a DC Unlimited like Marvel Unlimited because DC pays royalties.
Royalties.
And as much as I love the Marvel Unlimited, when I go and I look at Fantastic Four number 12, nobody who worked on that book's getting a penny from it.
Yep. Anything else Matt got down?
Let's see. It talks about Convergence.
Ooh.
I don't have any ill will toward the main series Convergence at DC, but after Flashpoint, I don't want to revisit the mega event wackiness either. My wallet can thank me later. Joe, I did the math.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to buy every issue of Convergence at cover price, which no one buys their comics at cover price, but at cover price,
mm-hmm.
$355.
Let's see. It'll take a little bit more PayPal, but I'll stick with the main series.
$355 to pick up all those books.
I may do what I did with Access. Just wait till it's all out and then read it, because then I don't feel the urge to pick up all the other crossovers while you're waiting for the time in between to fill up. I do notice, too, with Access, it was very cagey, which the way, like, it would showed Nova briefly, and then he would go off flying somewhere, but they never picked up his story again. You had to go read Nova to figure out what the hell he did. And they did that with all the other books. And while it's fun, I don't think my wallet can handle it. Or maybe I'll do what happens later is it'll be like Access and then the Access Compendium, which has all the other crossovers with it. Or wait for the, you know, so-called Spring Con. Actually, it'd be Fall Con. And pick up everything for in the quarter box later.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things about these big crossovers, because they aren't popping like they used to. And I think one of the things is people actually sit down and do the math and go, that's $120. That's $200. And so they pick and choose. Because I remember in the 90s when comics were a buck, or $1.50, people would come in and they would just, oh yeah, here are all the crossovers for this, boom, 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 boom. Wouldn't even think of it because, you know, it's a dollar, it's a dollar and a half. It's not that big a deal. Now these comics are $4 a pop.
Yeah.
Especially I mean, that's comics. Real money.
Yeah. Now that gas is down to $2, that's like 2 gallons of gas.
Yeah. Let's see. I hope this gives you guys some insight into what a longtime reader is buying. It does. Cool. Thank you. Loyal listener, Matthew Guy. P.S. When is Joe's solo podcast coming? Soon? I doubt it, seeing as how he's cheating on us.
Yes. And it was a
he's
good cheat,
playing
too.
The field.
It was. I am. I'm not a podcast slut like some Strodes I know.
I'm not a slut. I stay loyal.
What?
I do this show.
It's your own.
And the solo podcast I do is on the same feed. So it's the same house.
True, but it could also be.
Sometimes I do it with
could
you.
Be.
Sometimes I do it like by myself.
Whoa,
which is
whoa,
like,
whoa. That's a PG,
sometimes
PG,
you do
please.
It with your wife, and sometimes you do it by yourself.
Yes, PG, please. But you also got to look at it. Whereas you're getting free boxes of candy and stuff from, who's that people you're getting it from?
That's Care Packs.
Oh, yeah, I remember them.
EAX.com, who just got a freebie.
Yep, yep. Mainly because I'm still waiting for a free box of candy, but that's a different one. Anyways.
Now, Joe, you've made me a slut. I'm giving it away for free.
See, I knew it. See, I'd get right down to it. But I also look at it like maybe we'll get, like I said, a few of the Amish over to check out your podcast.
So
it's called Free Crossover. You know, I'm a crossover slut. It's the only way to do it.
Will you answer the man's question?
I got my best people working on it.
You don't have anybody working on it.
No, actually I do. I have been working on it. It's just, I want to make it something revolutionary to listen to rather than, you know, I don't know. I could do a Ben Stiller, I suppose. And then I read Hellboy again. I thought it should have been better if they called it Heck Boy. The title was too exciting, so I put it back on the library shelf.
Well, so we've read our mail.
We have.
We've talked about the Royal Rumble.
And I do appreciate the fact that you got the last podcast up before the snowstorm hit, so our poor listeners up in the northeast area had something to listen to while the power went out.
Now, the one time we had a huge snowstorm that I remember, because I haven't lived in Minnesota as long as you, but I do remember the great Halloween blizzard of 1991.
Yes.
I was working at Schindler's at the time.
I was working
at
Schindler's.
And I believe it was the only time that the downtown Schindler's was closed.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything was closed.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the details of it, I had to refresh my mind on the details of it because, you know, you can remember something, but that may not be exactly how it happened. But what it was, first it rained. And then it started snowing.
Well, the big thing was.
And then it got really cold.
The big thing was, is that when you went to bed that night at 10 o'clock, it was only supposed to be a couple inches of snow. About 2 a.m., they realized they screwed up. By the time we woke up at 6 a.m., there was, what, 2 feet of snow on the ground? 3?
Now,
that came fast.
The thing was, that was Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taking my son out for his first trick-or-treat. So by like 7 or 8 here in the western suburbs, we already had 6 to 8 to 12 inches of snow. It was already bad. Because I remember us, they plowed a bunch off the road and it was still coming down. We had to climb over, you know, big piles of snow because they'd covered up the sidewalks. And this was my son's first Halloween, and I'll be damned if we just, you know, sit at home and he doesn't get to wear his Spider-Man costume and get candy from people. And boy, did we get a ton of candy because nobody else was dumb enough to go out. But the hardest thing was for a lot of people, they'd get the snow off their car or they'd try and get the snow off the road, but there was thick ice underneath and it was too cold for the salt or anything to work. And that's why the city was shut down till, what, Monday?
At least. Because later what happened, like you said, it started to snow, and then it rained, and by December a lot of the snow was gone. because we had a couple ice events later on, but it was really weird because the winter started with a lot of snow, and by Christmas, a lot of it was gone because the rain washed it away. Not before it collapsed our backyard deck, though. Good times.
So were there any big winter events that either caused you to shut the shop or that messed up comic delivery? Anything like that?
A lot of times what would mess up comic delivery wasn't necessarily happening in Minnesota. If the printer up in Canada was nailed, and I forget where it was, I think it was on the eastern edge of Canada, that would delay because they couldn't get the books out to the distributors. If Diamond's Warehouse, we didn't really have problems with Cap so much, but in Diamond's Warehouse, which I think was in the middle of the country, got nailed, or Baltimore got nailed, that would delay books again. There was a couple times where the trucks got stuck in the snow. So it was halfway from Chicago to here, and it got stuck somewhere in Wisconsin. And you'd usually find out about it when you went to the warehouse to pick up. The worst day ever, and I know we've talked about this before, I think it was just bitter-ass sunny cold, because we rang up $4.95 on that Tuesday.
Yep, and I was there. Yep,
I think it was a pack of magic and a candy bar. I do recall there were times like when, I mean, I only lived like a mile away from the shop. Granted, it was around a lake, so it was probably 2 miles by the car flies. But a lot of times I'd get to the shop and I'd sit down, and, you know, I'd give Gruber a call at work. I'd say, oh man, what a terrible time getting to work today. He goes, yeah, it was like 2 hours. I go, yeah, it took me like 10 whole minutes. In the interest of keeping this podcast PG, I won't tell you what the reply was, but
there were a lot of words that you would not, that you would use on the other podcast.
It was kind of shocking because he was at work, but he also said he was one of the few people to get to work. And what he liked about it is he didn't lose the snow day. Plus he was when nobody was there, he could get a lot of work done. He also liked to go in like the day after Thanksgiving because same thing. Everybody took the day off. He'd get in there and he'd get a lot of work done. So
in other words, much like on Clerks, this job would be great if it weren't for all the people.
Yeah. Most of the time, you know, I would make it. There was a few times I know where we just closed the shop. Again, like I said, I could usually get to the store. I had a four-wheel drive truck, so it wasn't a problem. If I couldn't get to the store, I would, there was a few times I remember calling the employees saying, just stay home, it's too dangerous. If I knew the storm was coming, and during the winter, it was usually a lot easier because, you know, tomorrow you're going to get snowmageddon. You're going to get buried. This is a life-changing event, even though we'll only get 9 inches of snow, which is nothing for Minnesotans or New York people. So a lot of times if I knew there was a bad storm coming, I would just tell the employees, you know, just stay home. Don't even worry about it. A couple times I know when Dave was running the shop, he lived like right across the street. And I would tell him, you know, Dave, I'm not coming. If you want to go open the shop, I'll pay you double today. If you just want to stay home, and I don't recall if he did open it or not. But most of the time if I did open, we'd have some business Wednesday or comic day, because we talked about how comic day shifted. If it was a Wednesday, people would call sometimes and say, hey, are you going to be open? I said, well, if I know you're coming, I'll stay open. If you're not going to, I'll probably close at 5 or 6. But again, I had four-wheel drive. I could get home. It wasn't that big a deal usually. So snowstorms, for the most part, weren't a bad thing for us. With the exception of the books being delayed, and it wasn't a big deal because if our books were delayed, everybody's were delayed. There are a few times it didn't happen that way. It's like, oh, your books didn't get here. Well, then how come Schindler's got theirs? Well, they get theirs delivered differently. No, they didn't. They got theirs on Tuesday. You didn't want to sell it to us on Tuesday. Nowadays, Diamond just ships everything on Tuesday. So it delivers then, and then you're not allowed to put them out till Wednesday. I don't know what the punishment is if you do, but whatever. But like I said, that was snowstorms. Now, during this summer, it was a lot different, but I'll save that for a summertime Tales of the Shop, especially the time that a tornado hit our store.
What?
Yep. But we'll save that for a later one.
I didn't even know about that.
Yep.
Was I there?
Nope.
Was I sober?
I believe it was on a Thursday or Friday. So you might have been sober, but on your part, I think it was just a storm that like it. All right, let's tell it. Basically, this was when Dana was maybe 5 or 6. Maybe beforehand, right? I don't think she was quite in school yet, so probably 5. But we'd gotten up and we were just going to go around garage sailing. I think it was a Friday because Mike had the shop and, you know, as I would want to do on Fridays, I'd show up later. The gang would show up. We'd all do whatever. As we stopped at a garage sale a couple blocks from our house. And then the lady had the TV on and I noticed they had said severe weather coming and it was like coming right at us. So I told Dana, who really, really hated severe storms, you know, we could go to the shop. And, you know, where Mike was, she loved Mike. Mike would pick her up and throw her in the air. She just loved seeing this little Mike, by the way, not big Mike. She likes big Mike too, but little Mike, she loved. Or we could go home because I figured either way we'd be home, we'd be safe. And she said, let's go to the shop. So we went to the shop and that wasn't a bad decision, but in hindsight, probably not a good decision. What had happened was eventually when we got there, everything turned green, which if you live in Tornado Alley, you know, green is not good if you know severe storms are coming. Usually means that the light's being filtered by ice in the clouds, which it means the only reason the ice is up there is because there's strong winds, aka tornado, keeping it up there. That's why it usually sometimes hails right before the tornado and the hailstones are big. In this case, it didn't hail, but the tornado sirens went off. And the wind started blowing. And the only reason I realized now it was a tornado is because I looked out the main window. At this point, Dana was freaking. At the time, it was Mike and another couple that was in the shop. And basically, we were like, okay, guys, just stay in the shop until this passes. Well, the young lady that was with the customer took Dana and they stood in the back. Because guys being guys were at the window going, hey, look.
Think they're going to pick up some cars?
Lightning struck. A rickety billboard across the street fell. Just boom.
Oh, I remember that billboard.
Yeah. And we thought it was simultaneous, but it wasn't because the lightning hit a building behind it. It was just our angle was that. When that happened, I look in the air and I see these debris just in the air going, you know, from right to left across the street. And I'm thinking, huh. If that was twirling, that would be a tornado. Well, what it was. The tornado was forming over us. It kept going, and as it got into Oakdale is when it really wrapped up and created more damage on the ground. Now, the building we were in was a typical 60s strip mall. Had it been a real tornado to hit, there wouldn't be a Hot Comics there because there was nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. It was just one of those buildings that would have just, the walls would have fell, the ceiling would have come down, and poof, end of anybody or anything inside. I always told the guys, if you knew something was coming, run to Hafner's bowling alley, get in the basement, or just get back to where the plumbing is in the back of the shop, because this building had nowhere to hide or nowhere to go. You know, again, under somewhere safe. We had a few sturdy displays you probably could have hit under, but nothing I would have trusted. So the power did go out. It stayed out most of the afternoon. As twilight fell, a lot of the people about 4 or 5 o'clock started to, just, you know, we're locking up. As I was getting ready to go, I think I told Mike, actually, I don't remember if I told Mike to go or not. I looked in the back. We had the ghost of Wally Carbo in our shop. Now, for those of you who don't know who Wally Carbo is, he's an AWA promoter that was a local guy, did a lot. He was kind of the bad guy. When the bad guys got out of hand, he was coming, there will be fines, there will be suspensions. when he died, he also was a fence, apparently, for stolen property, which had nothing to do with the story, just something I wanted to throw in there. Anyways, he hung out at Comic Archives for the longest time. Anytime someone would call and ask for the owner, they'd say, Wally Carbo's not here. When Comic Archives closed, Wally came to our shop. So if anybody called and asked for somebody, they go, can I talk to the owner? That would be Wally Carbo. He's not here. Can I take a message? No, we'll call back. So if anybody picked up the phone and asked for Wally, we knew it was just a solicitor. I only had one person ever go, wait a minute, isn't he dead? I said, you got me. Anyways, the light in question and back never turned off. Don't know why. I'm pretty sure it could have been a fire hazard, but it just never turned off. When the power's out, it was gone. But then I look back, and what we had done during the power outage is we had turned all the circuit breakers off, because I was worried if it powered on in the middle of the night, you know, Lord knows what it would do to the electronics there. I noticed it was lit. I went, turned the cash machine on, and there was power. And I said, dang it all. I was just going to close the shop, but we got power. So we flipped the lights on, and I don't know. That was like 5 o'clock. I don't know how much business we had for the day. If I could remember the date, I could probably go back and dig it up. But it was an unrealistic, surreal day. Of course, you get home and you realize, oh, it's a tornado formed right over us. Damn lucky it kept going. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
You know what we're here to talk about?
What's that?
Freaking and geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
My computer wouldn't get the Royal Rumble. I got home, and I'm all excited. First of all, I knew the Royal Rumble was coming. No. First of all, before that, my back was hurting like crazy all freaking week. I don't know what it was. I thought it was the weather change. I thought it might have been arthritis kicking in, rheumatoid arthritis kicks in every so often. It just, things hurt. But it wouldn't go away. I actually went home early on Sunday, got home, hit the tub, got out, hit an ice pack. So that Sunday, all day long, my back was hurting. And on top of that, I knew there was a pay-per-view, and I'm thinking, this is an incredibly slow day. It's after Christmas. It's before spring break. There's nothing going on. Now, if it's busy at work, I don't notice when I have these aches and pains. When it's not, I swear they amplify. But I held on. I persevered. I was greedy because, as I've said before, federal government gives you a 25% bump when you work on Sundays. So I sucked it up and rode it out. As I was doing that, my buddy Eric down in Florida, he was texting me the results of the pay-per-view. And what killed me is when he said the Brock Lesnar triple threat match was starting, because that's the one I really wanted to see. And I'm like, well, maybe it'll go for a while. I can get home before it's over. Soon as I punched out the text, it's over. Brock won. Son of a bitch. So I get home, and I figure, okay, I'm home at 9 o'clock. There should be at least an hour's worth of Royal Rumble on. Turn on the app on my computer. Will not load. It just does its little spinning clock thing. I can get programs on it. I just can't get whatever's live. Couldn't, you know, I cleared my cache, restarted the computer, tried Chrome, tried Explorer, didn't work. So I watched it on my phone, little tiny. And like I said, by the time I got on there, it was after the bad part of the match. So I just watched the crap part, which is why I guess I wasn't that shocked when everybody was booing, you know, Roman Reigns, because I was like, oh, okay, he won. But it was kind of telegraphed, too. I mean, you have him, Kane, and Big Show, two monsters. It's kind of like Spider-Man fighting Hulk and Juggernaut. Well, it's his book. He's going to win. The question is how? The good part was after it was all over with, I went and programmed WWE Network into my Roku. So next time a pay-per-view happens, I'm just going to watch it on TV, like God intended it. Other than that, I had a pretty good week, so not much freaking. Corey, what are you freaking about? What's got you down in the dumps? What's got you sad?
Well, last Thursday, they went through and gave all of us at the full-time job our last days. So, I won't get into a lot of detail, but...
So you're telling me next podcast we're revamping a hopefully forgotten bit of our podcast?
No!
Oh, good.
Because I will keep working there for about a month. And as I mentioned once in a blue moon, I am a contractor. I am a temp. And the temp agency has already sent me on an interview.
Cool. I don't want to lose this one. He's making us lots of money.
Well, that's right. And every time I ask, they say they've never gotten feedback as good as the feedback they get on me. So they, with the economy picking up, they really want me to keep working for them.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes. But I really enjoy the team I'm with. I enjoy the people I work with, and I like what I do. And I feel bad for the people who've been at the company for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, mm-hmm. who now have been told that they're got 60 days. It sucks. Yeah. It sucks.
On the plus side, not before Christmas, not that there's ever a good time to be told that.
Well, and the other thing was, we've known, well, they've known for almost 2 years, I guess. Mm. But when I was brought in, it was, well, we may offer you full time, you know, as an employee, or the job may be outsourced. We don't know right now.
There's a lot of things to consider. How much money are we going to make on this deal?
So, really, that's the only thing I'm really freaking on, because, you know, I can always pick up more shifts at the group home. The temp agency's really wanting me to have another job as soon as humanly possible. The economy's a lot better. When I send out resumes now, people actually answer. So, but, you know, the next month's going to be hard at work because the two other people on the supervisory team with me, they're going to be down in Costa Rica helping them set up to take our job. So not only did my boss have to go down and interview and choose the people who would be taking his job, but now he has to show them how to do the job that he will no longer have.
Wow. That's capitalism for you.
How's that make you feel, buddy? Joe, what are you geeking on? What are you loving?
Well, I saw a bit of impressive book bindering recently. My father-in-law had a fireman's yearbook from 1902 based on the St. Paul Fire Department. It was just like in standard yearbook fashion, but the binding had just been, it was gone. And he hated to see it that
it's
way.
Gone.
Well, my wife threw a gentleman, I think his name's Pat Coleman. He works as one of the guys at the Minnesota Historical Society who gathers up historical artifacts, be it a sign from a business going out of existence. He actually somehow got a hold of the door of the school bus that was seen when the 35W bridge collapsed, and there was a group of kids that were on board the bus. And then had all the kids that were on the bus autograph the door. Now all the kids got off safely. So that's the type of things he does. Well, he uses these guys over in Minneapolis called the Campbell Logan Bindery. If you're talking about lost art, binding books is definitely one of them. Because nowadays most of the books, when they get bad, you just throw them out or buy a new one or just recycle it or get a penny for it at whatever, or half price books or whatever. Well, these guys took the book and they restored it, and it was fantastic. I wish I'd taken pictures of before. I got pictures of it afterwards. So if you have an old book that you would like rebound, give these guys a try. Again, the Campbell Logan Bindery in Minneapolis, Minnesota. You can contact me direct or Corey, and we'll get you the guy's email. And I was very impressed. It's not often that I think I would use a service like that, but it's nice to know that they're still around. As far as other things, I'm still chugging away on eBay and Facebook, or toypeddler.com. You know, I don't really talk about it much on Facebook. So if you're interested in anything there, you know the drill. Let me know if you win or buy it, and I'll throw something free on it for you. And in the mail, I picked up something that I'm real excited to watch. It's called Babylon 5, the Annotated Panel Transcripts. It was based out of the Phoenix Comic-Con and the Space City Comic-Con, where they had a 20th anniversary get-together panel, and all the surviving members got together. They also, not only is it two incredibly thick books filled with, again, more trivia than most people need to know, but I also have DVDs and some downloadable things, uncut, uncensored, of the entire anniversary convention and the panels. And this, I think, is such an incredibly cool idea. I wish places, again, the MSP Comic-Con, Fall-Con, other cons, whenever they have panels and things like that, I wish they would record them for people who can't come. Now, I understand, you know, especially at San Diego Comic-Con, where you have, they're revealing for the first time the new mega Star Wars, Spider-Man, Transformers, Avenger crossover movie that they don't necessarily want out on the internet. But on the other hand, dudes, I'll pay you frickin' money for this stuff. You know, I always like that phrase, money on the table. This is one way to do it. I talked to the con guys about that too, and it's just nobody wants to do it. But to me, it'd be a way. Not only could you get things immortalized, but it also is a great way where you can kind of feel like you were actually at the convention rather than just hearing about it or catching little blips of it or somebody's cell phone picture on Facebook. So I'm pretty excited about that. Corey, what are you geeking on? What's got you going? What's got you happier than a clam who escaped a clam bake?
Well, Marvel's lead up to Secret Wars has been a lot of fun. I don't normally go to Newsarama because Newsarama annoys me. I don't like how they cover stories. They just print. It's a lot of lists, and here's the press release that everybody else has. But they, with Marvel, put together this thing about Battleworld. And if you go to Marvel's website, there's even more about it. But they've got the world there, and you can click on the different areas.
They got the whole,
and some of them have been revealed, and some of them have
click,
not.
They got the whole damn battle world under a click. Sorry.
So you're starting to see what all the different areas are going to be.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm wondering if it's going to be a lot like Flashpoint or Convergence, where, all right, everything, all the Marvel books are going to end. You want to read Spider-Man? Well, we're going to have these Spider-Man books that are set, you know, on Spider Island. Or this over here or this over there. Kind of like what Marvel did with Age of Apocalypse.
Or you can revisit Marvel World. Marvelville.
Yeah. That gives me the cold shivers.
You know how I feel when I read that other crossover I won't mention right now.
Yeah. But I'm wondering if it's going to be like Age of Apocalypse, where everything goes away, and then during Secret Wars, we get these books instead of our regular Marvel books. But I'm getting really excited because Marvel's doing a good job of promoting it.
Mm-hmm.
Comic-wise, I really only read one comic in the last week, and that was Fatale, which I've talked about before, but now that every issue's out and I've got them all stacked up, I'm doing a mass reading like I did with Saga, except with Fatale, I can't go through it as fast because the stories are a lot darker. It starts as kind of a very standard noir story. Guy meets a woman. Woman gets him into kind of, he falls for the woman. She's got all these things going on around her, and he wants to save her, and he gets pulled deeper and deeper into this dark world that she's a part of. But as the story goes, you find out there's a lot more to her than meets the eye. There are stories from the 70s, stories from the 80s, stories from the 40s, current age, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if you like a good mystery with supernatural overtones, this is an amazing book. When I read Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips, they do Criminal, they did Incognito, over at DC they did Sleeper. You kind of expect they're going to do a 40s/50s noir crime story, but you don't expect the supernatural edge that's in this. So that's really all I've been reading. And the other reason I haven't read a whole lot is, Joe, I was off over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I got some stuff done around the house. I had a new Solitaire Rose Radio. Do you remember Stephanie Kofel?
Yes.
I interviewed her.
Oh, cool.
She's got a really interesting story. You'll like that. And you learn a lot about how comic books were colored, about how people broke into comics back in the 80s. But I also fired up the old Xbox 360 and I put in Dragon Age 2, which is a video game from BioWare. It's a role-playing game. And, yeah, it ate most of my weekend.
Good.
The BioWare games are very story-driven and very character-driven. They did a lot of Dungeons & Dragons video games for computers back in the late 90s, early 2000s. They did, what was it, Knights of the Old Republic on the original Xbox. And the way it is, they've got a story, and you choose how your character responds to people. You know, you can be, you know, like the wholesome hero. You can be a bit mercenary. You can be evil. You can be this. And your character and how people react to you change as you act through the story. And I love me my Final Fantasy, but this is a very different role-playing game style, and I really enjoy it. And it's probably going to suck up a lot of my free time over the next few weeks because I'm just drawn in. The good thing about it is if you've played the older Dragon Age games, the choices you made in those games affect this game. So if you played a right bastard who did some really horrible stuff in those games, it's a much darker world. But you don't have to have played those games in order to play this game, because this is set, I think, like a couple hundred years later. So if you're a video gamer and you have not picked up Dragon Age 2 or the first two Dragon Age, Awakenings and Origins, I think they're called, you can get them at the used video game store. They're probably only going to be about $9 to $10 each. And you're going to get 60 to 80 hours of entertainment out of these games.
Corey, how's your toaster doing?
My toaster's fine.
Okay. I'm always worried because I know occasionally you bitch about your toaster and not being able to have an adequate supply of toast and how you disdain for, you know, raw toast. But
that's what I call bread. I don't actually call it bread. Bread to me is just raw toast.
They have a toaster now that will toast your face onto bread. For just $75, you can have a very vague depiction of your face on a piece of toast.
I don't want to eat my face.
Well, why not? The upcoming zombie apocalypse snowstorm, you may wish you could.
Well, Joe, we've reached a point in the show where we have to do a callback. We have to go back.
Get it on Amazon. Oh, we do?
Yes. And I think we even talked about it in our first episode.
Oh, wow.
You know my love of the horrible, horrible, heart attack-inducing fast food sandwiches.
Which is amazing.
Not only is the Double Down back, but it has gotten worse. The new Double Down sandwich, are you ready?
I'm not ready yet. Hang on.
Okay.
Almost there. Hang on a second. Okay, I made room. I'm ready.
The double down dog sandwich. Who needs a soggy bun when your hot dog can be wrapped in fried chicken? They take a piece of deep fried chicken that they've bent to fit a hot dog.
Yeah, I can feel the blue peach.
Oh my God. You know, the rest of the world looks at this and goes, what the hell is wrong with those people?
These guys beat us during World War II?
They have the strongest military in the world, and they make, they can't even, first off, hot dogs are bad sausages. They're bland, tasteless sausages. But now they're gonna wrap it in fried, deep fried chicken.
Where can we find this? Where did you say we could find this?
That in batter and deep fries it and puts it on a stick.
Where did you say we could find this incredible confectionery?
Well, at the Kentucky Fried Chicken, of course.
Isn't it amazing that almost every single one of them in town is closed down to be replaced by a Popeyes?
They're fighting back, Joe. They're fighting back.
Oh, something's fighting up, I'll tell you that.
This is worse than the douchebag burger.
Ugh. You know, you're having too much fun with this because you're a vegetarian.
Oh, no. If I still ate meat, I'd still be looking at this going, really? They should have somebody trying to sell these outside a gym going, hey, you want to undo all the work you've done for the last 6 months? Have one of these. You know, my friend who's a chef, I imagine all I would have to do is buy one and show it to her, and she would say, I'm never coming to America. you people need to be contained. They need to put the Simpsons dome over the country so that the double down dog does not escape to the rest of the world. And I thought the hamburger made out of donuts was bad. I doubt the hamburger made out of donuts is as unhealthy as, hey, you want a hot dog? How about we wrap it in some deep fried chicken?
Deep fry that sucker.
God. Well, kids, believe it or not, you wasted over an hour of your life listening to us blather on about funny books. I just keep looking at the picture of this thing going, no one's really going to buy this, are they?
I just look at it and my stomach kind of twirls.
No one's really going to go, I want me one of them.
I want two of them. I got two hands. Put that in a blender, make a malt out of it.
And if you think that's not bad enough, they do cover the hot dog with cheese. Not good cheese either. It looks like this looks like it's one step below Velveeta. It's a cheese in a ketchup container that you just go, there you go.
Now you know why we try to keep Corey off the internet, folks.
Those we say... weekends.
I don't think you're able to say it.
You know, when I look at this thing, all I can think is the scientists involved were so preoccupied as to if they could do it, they didn't think if they should do it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Oh. So as we say every week, kids, there's no way we're eating this goddamn sandwich at the comic we like the least. We still like better than the comic you like the most. Joe!
Ooh, I'd say call my mama, but I think I'm having a heart attack. Just hit my music.
I'm the greatest! 1, 2, 3.